Let's pray. Father, we pray for Brother Isaac in this next hour that you would bless him and fill him with your Spirit, Lord. Would you make up for any lack of time of preparation that he may have had? And Father, would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us to prepare our hearts for what may be ahead of us in the future? Father, would you help us to have a commitment in our hearts and our lives to the kingdom that will ultimately win, that has already won? And Lord, would you just give us that dedication in our hearts. Bless each of these young people and all the rest of us that listens, Lord. And keep away any distractions, any spirits that would take away from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. It certainly touched my heart in many ways to be here with you this week, to see your hearts turning toward the Lord these days, to respond to His Spirit has been a joy. And I have found it difficult to share what feels to me to be a little more hard messages, when I would rather comfort and extend encouragement. But my heart is to encourage you. We want you to be encouraged. The Lord wants you to be encouraged these days. You know, we have needs in our lives, and it's hard for us to know what to do with those needs, and how does the Lord even feel toward us with the needs that we have in our lives. There are things that we are not good at. There are things we have not yet learned how to do spiritually. And how does the Lord feel toward us? And how does He feel toward those of you who have been responding to Him and taking little steps spiritually forward this week? Now, on Tuesday evening, there was a little Candyland game going at our house. Ethan and two other children were playing Candyland. And they were playing there, and then suddenly I heard this loud crying and tears and emotion, and I went back there to the dining room to see what was going on, and my son had just lost the Candyland game. And he was very upset by that. That was very difficult for him. But you see, I love my son. That is not something that made me feel upset toward him. In fact, I remember how it is to lose a game when you're that age. And yet he needs guidance. That is not going to work through life. When you lose, to throw a fit will not be a sustainable pattern. I did not discipline him, but we went aside into the bedroom just to talk, and I calmed him down, and we were there. There is nothing but love in my heart toward him, and a desire to see him grow, a desire to see him learn how to lose a Candyland game. Could it be that's how the Lord feels toward us? And as we were there and he was calming down, he just snuggled up to me and said, "I just need some daddy time." Now the Lord chooses to describe his relationship with us as a father and a child. So you know what that could mean for you when you lose the Candyland game. A little later that same evening, I came back there and they were setting up to play Candyland, and I saw, oh wow, here we go. And isn't that how the Lord is? You see, the Lord cares about our Candyland games. And I am there and I'm on alert. I was out visiting with someone else, but my ears are tuned. And I did talk with Ethan. I said, "Son, how's this going to go? You're playing Candyland again. Remember last time? How will this go if you lose this game?" And we discussed that a little bit. Then I got into visiting and kind of forgot about the game. And then suddenly there was Ethan out in the living room. He said, "Daddy, the game's over." I said, "Son, who won?" He said, "Amy did. Amy did. Twice she won." Me and Ellen just grabbed him and hugged him and just rejoiced with him. He lost the Candyland game. And he's learning. There is joy in heaven over your little victories. And so I present that to you for your encouragement this morning as you go through this week and leave this week. Yesterday we talked about the beautiful opportunity of representing the God of heaven to those around us. We talked about what that could mean in your life. Each one of you sitting here, as you go forth into your world, and people that see your life are reminded, there is a God in heaven. And not only are they reminded that there is a God in heaven, but because of who you are, and because of what you do, and because of what you don't do, and the spirit with which you do it, they would like to get to know this God. And that was our message yesterday. Now today we have a more difficult lesson out of the book of Daniel. We're doing this week, we are having lessons from the book of Daniel. The title of today's message is The Kingdom That in Losing Will Win. The Kingdom That in Losing Will Win. And I know that in the CD room, you are saying that's a little different title than I gave you. That is fine. You've already started printing the covers of those CDs. You are welcome to keep the title I had. But for you sitting here, the kingdom that in losing will win. And I want to appreciate the singing in your chorus practice yesterday, because as I sat back there on that pew, about 10 pews back, and listened, some of the inspiration for this message came to me because of your encouraging singing. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Again, we've been in Daniel chapter 2 a fair bit this week. A lot of the latter part of Daniel is prophetic teaching about what is yet to come. And I am not a student of biblical prophecy, so perhaps I will not go very deeply into what all those prophecies mean and the technical aspects and all of that, but we want to try to take them very, very simply and see how that might practically affect our lives today. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. There will be an everlasting kingdom, and that is the kingdom which you today are presently a part of. And it is a tremendous joy to be a part of something that will endure forever. Men and women throughout the ages have always longed for something into which they could pour their lives, that was greater than themselves, that would last longer than they did, and that would be victorious in the end. Out of that comes things like patriotism for our own nation. And especially in the early days, and even going on up through probably the 18th, 19th, 20th century, it was the fervor and passion was there for our nation. And men were thrilled to songs such as the Star-Spangled Banner, and My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And those songs would be sung. Men and women's hearts would just be filled with something at the prospect of being part of such a powerful nation. But I think over the years that has largely resulted in a lot of disappointment and has certainly been a misdirected passion. And so people end up joining other things that they think might be more enduring. But everyone wants to be a part of something that will endure, something that will make a difference in the earth, something into which I could pour my life that after a few years will not just fizzle out and die. And I just want to tell us this morning, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is just that. Amen. Will endure forever, will win, will be victorious, Let your heart stir for that. My country, 'tis to thee, no. For Christ in the church, let our voices ring. That is this kingdom. And I believe that the zeal and the passion that was there in patriotism and that pledge allegiance to the flag and the screaming of the crowds at the presidential inaugurations and the speeches and all those conventions and things of which I know very little, I believe that is all misdirected zeal and passion. The Lord has put that passion, that dedication, that loyalty within us for a reason, but not for the United States of America, but for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And when it is not given to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it is given to any number of other things. It is given to your country. It is given to the sports teams. It's given to something. But I am calling you this morning to the excitement and the possibility and the joy of being part of this everlasting kingdom. We were there in Liberia, Costa Rica, getting ready to fly home. We were going through security, and suddenly the whole place just erupted in cheers and screaming, and I thought, what is going on? But Costa Rica was playing against somebody in the World Cup, and they had just scored a point. And several times we were there, and our children were trying to rest, and the place would just erupt in screams again. Another point. Men and women in uniform were just beside themselves with joy. And nobody was ashamed of their obvious emotion for the football team or whatever the team of Costa Rica. Because they loved that team. They were very attached to that team. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Could our voices ring once again for the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ? However, we know that there is also another kingdom. We understand that. We understand that there is two kingdoms and two kings. And we understand that these two kingdoms never have been and never will be friends. Do you ever wonder, young people, why it's so hard to be a Christian? There are many reasons, perhaps. But why is there so much, why do I have to fight so hard? Why is there all this temptation? There's two kingdoms. And there's two kings. And both those kings have their eye on you. And one of those kings wants to restore you and give you eternal life. And one of those kings wants to destroy you and give you eternal death. And your soul is caught in the conflict. These kingdoms are clashing. These kingdoms are at war. And you feel that war. Now sometimes the lines between the two kingdoms get a little blurry. In the days of Christian presidents, in the days of Christian this and Christian that, the lines get blurry. Would you say this morning, so we have these two kingdoms, would you say that CNN news, which kingdom would you say CNN is a part of? The world. Which kingdom would you say Fox News is a part of?
World.
You see, we are very easily sucked into compromise. And for those of you who don't know what Fox News is, that's a blessing. But for those of you who know what Fox News is, you understand very well what I'm trying to say. And we have not always done very well at keeping those lines clear in our hearts and in our minds. Fox News does not even begin to understand the values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and never, ever will.
Amen.
We're surrounded by neighbors who are part of the other kingdom. And sometimes the lines get a little blurred there because we have some very friendly, nice neighbors. I have one that it seemed like he would just do anything for me. And sometimes he tries to give a little advice here, a little advice there, and that's good. And he even rebuked me one day for not taking better care of some calves I had over in the field next to him, and that was good. I received that and thanked him for bringing that to my attention, because the Bible says the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But he does not understand the values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Somebody a while ago, a brother had a little mishap on the road like we all do at times and hit a fence driving down the road. And another brother in the church committed, it was not me, another brother in the church committed to fixing that fence. But this neighbor said, no, don't fix it. He needs to learn to fix his own mistakes. You see, he doesn't understand the values of the Church of Jesus Christ. A very nice neighbor, and if he ever listens to this message, thank you for being such a good neighbor. But there is a huge gulf between his understanding of what success is in life, his understanding of what it means to be profitable in life, and the understanding of the kingdom. And we must be careful. Now, I'm all for being friends with our neighbors. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but Jesus never forgot which kingdom he was a part of. And Jesus never forgot that some of these very people were one day going to drive the nails in his hands and feet. It was very clear to Jesus, the two kingdoms. But the Bible teaches, dear young people, and the rest of us, that there will be times and a time when the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of this world, is going to be allowed to temporarily triumph over the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And my burden this morning is, are you prepared for that time or for those times? I heard Johnny Miller say one time that we are too used to the world patting us on the back. Good fried pies, good fences, excellent craftsmanship, bless God, which should be there for the children of God. Beautiful this, beautiful homes, beautiful that. But Johnny Miller said, I want to tell you, the hand that is currently patting you on the back is slowly squeezing into a fist. And that is true. These two kingdoms will never be friends. Because the two kings are not friends. But if you are being used, if you are used to being well thought of, if you like the best of everything, if you cannot bear to be evil spoken of, if in your view justice always has to happen immediately, then you are perhaps ill prepared for the time or times when evil will be allowed to temporarily, seemingly triumph over good. If you have a lot of rights, how will it be for you when your rights are taken away? There are different ways to drive down the road. One attitude is, this is my road as well as anybody else's. The other attitude would be, this is such a blessing that I'm part of the other kingdom, but I'm allowed to drive on this road. The question of voting comes up many times in perhaps not in our circles. I think we're fairly settled in that. There are perhaps different reasons why we do or do not vote, but one of the reasons I don't vote is I do not feel like I am eligible, or I do not feel like that would be my privilege. Because there are many areas where my allegiance to the kingdom of Jesus Christ will hinder me in giving to the kingdom of this world what they would like to see me give. So I just don't know if I would be eligible to vote. And now we will turn for a scripture reading to Daniel chapter 7. I know that it's Thursday and this is the middle session of the morning. You're getting a little tired, so I'm aware of that. And it's a little challenging to keep you awake. You're looking a little tired. Some of you are zoning out a little bit. I'll do my best here. Maybe it would help if those of you who are able, especially the students, do you want to stand for this scripture reading? That might be helpful to you. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, and this title will keep ringing in our ears, "The Kingdom That in Losing Will Win." Daniel here is being given very special visions by the God of heaven. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. The throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake." This horn was from the other kingdom. "I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall be destroyed, not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions in my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then would I know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter." And you may be seated. And the title for tomorrow morning's lesson will be "The End of the Matter." This is very difficult for our hearts to receive this prophecy. that this other wicked, evil, defeated kingdom will be allowed to make war with the saints of the Most High God and overcome them. How can that be? But one thing we must know, I can't wait till later in this lesson to say this, lest you're confused, the other kingdom cannot touch your soul unless you open the door. You can certainly open the door to that other king. I got a call at 3 o'clock one morning from a young person that had been watching demonic videos, etc., and he said, he's here. You can certainly open the door to the other king. This young person knew how to do battle. We battled together, and he left because of Jesus. But you certainly don't want to open the door to the other king. But this king, this other kingdom that will make war and prevail against the saints will only be able to do so physically. However, the war is not always just physical. It is just that the other part of the war, the part that is not physical, is only presented as an opportunity, as a temptation, as something you could have if you want it. Does that make sense? Certainly the other kingdom can get your soul, but it is only as you walk into the realm of the other kingdom. So I would not do well to tell you that the battle is merely physical, because it's not. And a lot of what you're facing, your battle today, is very spiritual. You know it is. It's happening in your mind. It's happening in your heart. And it's the subtle and not so subtle drawing of the other kingdom unto itself. And that is where you can destroy your soul. You can walk from the kingdom of Jesus Christ into the realm of the other kingdom. But what this other kingdom cannot do is come over here in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and grab you and take it back with you to its realm. It cannot. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I did a children's lesson one time. I took a little something in my hand and I had a little child come up here and try to get it out. They could not do it. The hand of God cannot be pried open. However, and then I went like this, and I had a little sheep in my hand. However, his hand is open when it comes to from the inside out, and that little sheep can walk right off that hand. But as far as the power of darkness, and you will feel him at times, the darkness can seem very heavy at times, but I just want you to know that you are safe in the Father's hand, insofar as your soul and your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. That cannot be touched. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But when it has to do with our physical lives, when it has to do with our business, when it has to do with our house, when it has to do with our family, when it has to do with our body, God allows the other kingdom at times to prosper. This will be very difficult for those whose life is very centered around physical things. This will be a very difficult time for those who are used to making wise business decisions and not wise spiritual decisions. Many will fall. We have gotten used to being able to, in this beautiful country, which I'm so thankful for, we have been used to being able to build our empires, build our business, buy more land, do business, and become some of the most successful people in our nation. Now, we're not. You know what I'm saying? We're not Bill Gates or anything of that nature, but as far as productive citizens of a community and having good businesses, etc., that's us. And thank you, Lord, for how long that has been the case. And thank you that we've been able to raise our families in peace and work together. Thank you, Jesus. But it may not last. And it doesn't have to last. And the Bible says it will not last. But you see, if you cannot take a little business... If in standing for kingdom value, your business can't suffer a little bit right now, how will you do? How will you do? I remember so well when my older brother had a good job at a local business and was climbing the ladder in that business. However, he had a problem because that business sold the kind of pumpkins that are used to make Halloween decorations. And perhaps you raise or sell those kinds of pumpkins in your business. That is not the point of my story. I am not saying you should not do that. But for my brother, who is a very conscientious individual, that was a problem. And he left that job for others. That's what I'm talking about. That was a step in preparation for him for the time when perhaps we will no longer be able to do business. When that chip, when whatever that mark of the beast, whatever all that will make it impossible for us to buy or sell, I don't know if I'll be able to build fences anymore. But it will be a very difficult time for people who are not used to sacrificing in any physical way for the kingdom. Further, in this time when evil will be allowed to trot under the saints of God, this will be a very difficult time for people who have always been well thought of. People who have learned to love the praise of men. People who have learned to love the pat on the back of the surrounding community. This will be a very difficult time. This will be a difficult time for people who have never gone through an experience and been broken where your name was evil spoken of because of Jesus Christ. This will happen. Jesus said they will cast out your name as evil. And further, in Matthew chapter 5, He gives us a command to rejoice and be exceeding glad when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I want to prepare your hearts for times when men will accuse you of horrible sins that you would not even dream of committing because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And it will go out in the kingdom of this world on Fox News that you are a fornicator and you have been pure because you love Jesus Christ. You see, it is to the kingdom of this world knows that it is a disadvantage to it to advertise that this man loved Jesus, so we're taking him out. He's in jail for loving Jesus. No, he's in jail for being a kidnapper, for kidnapping this child from this homosexual couple. That's why he's in jail. Rejoice. Jesus wants you to rejoice. As far as for His testimony and His great namesake, and how can we get this straight that Philip Note didn't do this, leave that to Him. That's tomorrow's message, the end of the matter, but I'll give you a sneak peek and just tell you that every wrong will be made right in due time. But you must wait. So Philip Note, you do not have to worry about that. You rejoice. This evil accusation is coming against you, if it happens, because you love Jesus. Prepare your hearts. It's okay. It's nothing new. They accused Jesus of all kinds of things, the perfect Lamb of God. He didn't feel a need to open His mouth. But so I just want us to know that you might not be in jail for being a Christian according to the way they would have it. you might be in jail for other reasons. Now I must bring to your hearts a word of encouragement, because when Jesus was teaching about the end times in Matthew chapter 24, He was teaching about this very thing. You shall, well, we can't turn there, we don't have time, but you shall be hated of all men, they shall speak evil of you, you'll be betrayed. He said, behold, I have told you before. Jesus wanted us to know it beforehand so that if it happens, we wouldn't be surprised. Oh yeah, Jesus said this was going to happen. None of this time of evil triumphing over good will take Jesus by surprise. Heaven will not be wringing in its hands. Oh, they're triumphing down there. Oh, Michael, can you do anything? No, I can't. No, not a bit of that. But it says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, that at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Michael will be standing up. Now, why do you stand up? If you've been sitting down, why do you stand up? You get a better view. You're better prepared. Michael, as always, is at the beck and call of the Father. They are very aware. Heaven is very aware of this little scene where this dear brother is being stabbed by the other kingdom. Michael is ready. It would only take a word of the Father and that brother will be delivered. But God may not choose to deliver at that time. But you can be sure that heaven is tuned in. You need to know this. You will never be in a dark place ever by yourself. You will never be in any situation. Sasha Krause had Jesus right beside her. This is no time for fear. This message, I wrestle with this message because I know it can strike fear into your dear, tender, soft hearts. That is not what God wants this morning. No fear. And then Jesus said in this context of what all is going to happen, He said, by the way, there will not a hair of your head perish. Wait a minute, Jesus, you said they're just going to kill us. I believe what He's saying, based on other scriptures, correct me if I'm wrong, but He said another place, without your Father. There will not an hair of your head perish that your Father isn't aware of. Oh, you have such a comfort in that. You must remember that this triumph, this seeming triumph of evil over good, this seeming triumph of the other kingdom over the kingdom of Jesus Christ is only temporary. Like an unfinished book, the last chapter has not yet been read. We should be turning to Revelation because the same things are spoken in Revelation. There will be false prophets and beasts that will arise. They'll be speaking great words against the King of Heaven. It says they're going to be wearing out the saints of the Most High God. I'll just read to you a little here. This is Revelation. It sounds so much like Daniel. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power to the beast. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. You also have the story of the two prophets, or witnesses, whoever they were, and how they were killed, and the earth celebrated with giving gifts. And the thing that will make this time even more confusing is that it says here that the beast here doeth great wonders. And so, dear people, here you have a time when the people of God are being pressed down and being accused and being killed, and evil seems to be prospering, and then this evil one is going to be doing miracles on top of everything. But Jesus told us before, so that when that time comes, none of us needs to be moved by that time. Let none of these things move you. Jesus will win. That's tomorrow's message. This message is open-ended because of tomorrow's message, but you want to hear tomorrow's message. How can this be? How can this dear Christian brother be being tormented? How can this brother be in jail for something he has not done? How can these dear people be oppressed because they were only disciplining their child in a biblical way? How can that happen? Aren't we part of the winning kingdom? Shouldn't we be winning? Why are we dying? Why are we being put to death, Jesus? Oh, just look back at the King of our kingdom. He did the same. He went the way before. This all started with our King. We're only called to follow in the steps of the Master. This is nothing new. This is the way this kingdom was even birthed. In dying, we win. That must have seemed like a very dark day for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It did for the children of Israel. Here hangs the Son of God. Here hangs the one who is going to be bringing in this glorious kingdom and power. And we have it in the book of Daniel. Jesus, you can't be dying on the cross because we see here in Daniel that you're going to have an everlasting kingdom. Well, we also saw in Daniel it said the Messiah will be cut off. That's in there too. But so here he is dying. Oh, it must have seemed like a dark day. But look at what happened. Look at the victory for the kingdom of Jesus Christ in that death. Darkness was losing. It will be the same for us. In those drops of blood and in that death sprang forth this glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. In the power of that death and resurrection, a soul was added to the kingdom just last night and maybe more. But he had to die. The King of this kingdom voluntarily subjected himself to the evil powers of the other kingdom that he might win and establish a kingdom. This kingdom that we are a part of, this King is so big and so powerful that every little seeming victory for the other kingdom, he turns it around and makes it a victory for his own. But we must learn to die. We must be willing to die. There shall not a hair of your head perish. Don't fear. There will be grace. You know, if you've gone through trials before, and if the Lord allows that you go through some of these more difficult physical trials, you will find His grace will be there. Because as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I can't imagine some of the things that believers have gone through. I don't imagine them too much. Because God doesn't give grace for the imagination. God give grace for when it's happening. Do not fear, dear people. Do not fear. Michael will stand up. Michael. It'll be all right. I read a story years ago of a dear mama, a Christian mother. They lived in a village and the people, the authorities were looking for the believers to harass the believers, to persecute the believers. They learned that they were coming. The man was able to escape. He did not think they would capture his wife and little son, but they did. They put her there in jail. This could be my wife. This could be my little boy. This is hard for me to receive that this could happen. Where is God? She's there in jail. They take this mama out. She's trying to take care of this little boy. They take her out and they cruelly whip her. She comes back into the cell and her little boy is so happy to see her. He's crawling all over her back. He's hurting her. Where is the God of heaven? And then this little boy is taken from his dear Christian mama. We're going to take your little boy from you if you don't recant. We're going to take him. We're going to give him to someone else to raise him. They'll teach him right. This little boy is taken from her arms and given to someone else. This lady is taken out and burned at the stake. And this is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And how can this be? And there is that in my heart that says this cannot be. Where is God? Michael is standing up. Where is God? In that cell. Where is God? In that flame. Where is God? With that little boy. And that mother is ushered into the realms of light to receive her reward. Well done, my dear daughter. And that little boy has the eyes of heaven on him also. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The victory for the other kingdom is only temporary. In dying, we win. He that loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Do not fear. Do not fear. Trust.